People are generally described as lucky when they seem to move ahead faster and go further in a shorter period of time than others. Whenever a person rises to the top of his or her field and accomplishes wonderful things with his or her life, people who are not doing as well always ascribe that person's success to luck. The primary reason that you want to incorporate the laws of luck and the various luck factors that we're discussing in this program into your life is so that you can have more of the things that you want faster and easier than you could if you had to spend your whole life working for them. Perhaps the most powerful of all luck factors, the one that can make you or break you throughout your life, is the quality of your personality, the attitude that you bring to the world and to all of your relationships. The law of liking says the more people like you, the more they will be influenced by you and the more they will help you to achieve your goals. The most popular people tend to be the most successful people in every field. A positive mental attitude is closely associated with success in almost everything you do that involves others. When you become a genuinely positive, optimistic person, people will open doors of opportunity for you that would be closed to most other people. Human beings are predominantly emotional. We decide emotionally and then justify logically. We are almost completely controlled by our feelings in every situation and especially in our interactions with others. You've heard it said that it's not your aptitude but your attitude that determines your altitude. If you really want to experience a continuous stream of good luck and happy circumstances, you owe it to yourself to develop the kind of attitude that radiates warmth and confidence and attracts people toward you wherever you go. Earl Nightingale called attitude the most important word in the English language, or in any language. Your attitude is your general emotional approach to any person or situation. It's the one thing about you that people are aware of immediately. It radiates from you in your facial expression, your tone of voice, and your body language. The people around you are immediately affected by your attitude and react almost instantaneously. When you're a positive, pleasant, and likable person, people respond by being positive, pleasant, and likable right back. Imagine two people calling on the same business a short time apart. One of them is cheerful, friendly, and pleasant. The other one is unsmiling, unhappy, and insecure. Which of these two people do you think is going to get past the gatekeeper and get to see the prospective customer? If you have a choice of buying a product or service or doing business with two different people, which one would you choose, the positive person or the negative person? At work, the ability to get along well with others, to cooperate and be a good team player, is one of the most valued characteristics of the most important employees. In study after study, it's been demonstrated that people are usually let go more for their inability to get along with others than for any other reason. Even in times of recession, it is the negative people who are laid off first. The positive people, the ones who get along well with everyone, are always the last to go, if they go at all. And if for any reason they are laid off, they are always the first hired, either by their previous employer or by someone else. One of the ways to assure that you have a great life is for you to be liked and appreciated by everyone with whom you work. You will get more opportunities, better leads, and steadier promotions. You will be paid more money and given greater responsibilities. As a result of your positive mental attitude, the people around you, above, below, and at your same level, will want you to succeed and will do everything possible to help you. A person with a positive attitude can make more progress in a couple of years than a person with a negative attitude could make in 10 years or 20 years. We all like to buy from and work with people who are pleasant and who make us feel good when we're around them. Perhaps the most important thing you ever do is to take full control of your thoughts and feelings and make good and sure that they are consistent with the kind of person you want to be known as by the people around you. The law of self-esteem is a key luck factor. It says that the more you like, respect, and appreciate yourself, the more you will like, respect, and appreciate others, and the more they will like, respect, and appreciate you. This is another version of the law of correspondence, which says that your outer world will be an accurate reflection of your inner world. Mental fitness is very much like physical fitness. You can become mentally fit by working out with your mind every single day, just as you could become physically fit by working out in a gym on a regular basis. You build your levels of self-esteem, self-confidence, and a positive personality by programming yourself for success. And just as you eat healthy, nutritious foods every day to nourish and sustain high levels of physical health and energy, you feed your mind with healthy mental foods every day to keep yourself cheerful, optimistic, and upbeat no matter what happens to you. We've already talked about many of the ingredients in your mental fitness programs in earlier sessions. Let's go over some of them one more time. First, to eliminate the negative emotions of anger, blame, envy, resentment, and self-pity, you make a conscious decision to accept complete responsibility for everything you are and everything you will be. You refuse to make excuses or to blame anyone else for anything. You see yourself as the primary creative force in your own life. You realize that you are where you are and what you are because of your own choices and decisions in the past. And since you have made those choices and decisions, only you are responsible. You take charge of your entire future by seeing yourself as a creative agent, as a master of change rather than as a victim of change. You never complain and you never explain. If you're not happy with some part of your life, you get busy and do something about it. But you refuse to allow negative emotions to interfere with your personality or to cloud your vision. You have clear, specific written goals for yourself and each important area of your life. You've taken the time to sit down and create written plans of action to achieve your goals. You work on your major goals every single day. You have a tremendous feeling of forward momentum and progress that fills you full of energy, enthusiasm, and excitement. You are so busy working on things that are important to you that you don't have time to be worried or preoccupied about the various things in your life that may not be perfect. The combination of accepting complete responsibility and designing a clear written plan for your life gives you a foundation upon which you can build as high as you want to go. You recognize that knowledge and skill are the keys to the future. The more you learn, the more you earn. The more you know about your chosen field, the more opportunities you have to use your increasing knowledge. You recognize that personal mastery in your field is absolutely essential to success, achievement, and what people call luck. You have a plan for personal and professional development that includes reading, listening to audio programs, attending seminars, and taking every opportunity to expand your level of knowledge, awareness, and ability. The more you work on becoming better and better at what you need to do to achieve your goals, the more powerful and positive you feel. You know that success is not an accident and that luck is just a way that people try to explain the good things that continually happen to people who are good at what they do. You are determined to continually think about the things that you want and keep your mind off of the things that you don't want. To build up your positive attitude and make it stronger and stronger, there are a series of powerful, proven mental programming techniques that you can use throughout the day. The first of these is based on the law of affirmation that we talked about earlier. This says that whatever strong affirmative statements you repeat over and over in your conscious mind will soon be accepted as commands by your subconscious mind. By the law of subconscious activity, you know that whatever is accepted by your subconscious mind begins to materialize in the world around you. Your reticular activating system increases your awareness and sensitivity to people, ideas, and opportunities that can help you to put your foot on the accelerator of your own potential and move more rapidly towards your goals. Fully 95% of your emotions are determined by the way that you talk to yourself. Dr. Martin Seligman of the University of Pennsylvania calls this your explanatory style. The way that you talk to yourself and explain things to yourself largely determines how you feel about your world and what is going on around you. If you don't consciously and deliberately think about and talk about the things you want, your mind, unfortunately, has a natural tendency to slip toward thinking about the things that you worry about and which make you upset or angry. You must firmly grasp the steering wheel of your own life and keep your thoughts focused on where you're going, or you will end up in the ditch of depression and negativity that most people find themselves in. Positive self-talk, positive affirmations are the key. With positive affirmations, your potential is unlimited. You can literally talk yourself into becoming the kind of person that you want to be so that you can achieve the kind of goals that you've set for yourself. You can build your self-esteem by continually repeating the words, "I like myself, I like myself, I like myself," over and over. When you first say, "I like myself," you may feel a little bit funny inside. This is to be expected. Psychologists call it cognitive dissonance. It happens when a new, positive message clashes against an old negative message that you may have accepted in the past as a result of earlier experiences. But when you repeat the positive affirmation, "I like myself," over and over, eventually your subconscious mind accepts that you do genuinely like and accept yourself and alters your personality accordingly. And as you know, the more you like yourself, the more you like others. And the more you like others, the more they like you and want to cooperate with you. But it begins with you. Say to yourself over and over again, "I'm the best. I'm the best. I'm the best." Whenever you think of yourself and your work, tell yourself in strong, positive language that you are the best. Again, you may feel a little bit silly when you first start saying this to yourself, but after a while it will feel better and better. Start off every day by saying, "I feel happy. I feel healthy. I feel terrific." When people ask you how things are going, always reply positively. Say, "Great," or "Things are going wonderfully." Talk about yourself and your life the way you want them to be, not just the way they might happen to be at the moment. Remember, your subconscious mind, which controls your attitude, your personality, your body language, your emotions, your levels of enthusiasm, your excitement, your energy, has no capacity to think or decide by itself. It merely accepts instructions. It's as though your conscious mind is the gardener and the subconscious is the garden. You can plant either flowers or weeds. Either will grow. But if you don't deliberately plant flowers, your garden will fill up with weeds by default. One of the most powerful of all luck factors is contained in the law of substitution. Many people have told me that their understanding of this simple principle has changed their entire lives. The law of substitution says that your conscious mind can only hold one thought at a time, and you can choose that thought. You can substitute a positive thought for a negative thought any time you choose. And you are always free to choose. The way you think or feel at any time, the way you act or react, is a result of a choice that you have decided to make, either consciously or unconsciously. If you're happy or unhappy, angry or exhilarated, enthusiastic or depressed, in every case, you've decided to feel this way. It's always a matter of choice, and the choice is always up to you. By using positive affirmations, you can keep your mind centered and focused on positive messages that are life-enhancing and which improve your entire attitude towards yourself and others. You can also use this law of substitution to block out negative thoughts by instead thinking about your goals. Isrit Khan, the Sufi master, once wrote that life is a continuous succession of problems. As you listen to this program, at this very moment, your life is filled with problems of all kinds, large and small. And if you don't watch out, these problems will surge in and fill your mind and preoccupy you continually. The more you think about your problems, the more negative, depressed, and angry you will become. But you can counter this natural tendency by thinking about your goals. Whenever something happens that makes you angry, neutralize the negative thought by thinking about your goal. Repeat your goal in the form of a personal, present tense affirmation. Talk to yourself about what you want and use that to keep your mind off of the things that you don't want. Another tremendous way to use the law of substitution to keep your attitude positive and upbeat is by thinking about the future rather than the past. Whenever you have a problem of any kind, discipline yourself to stop thinking about and rehashing the problem and who is to blame, and instead think about the solution and what you are going to do next. The instant that you begin thinking in terms of solutions and future actions, your mind goes calm and clear and becomes positive almost instantly. Almost all negativity requires your referring to a past event or circumstance. Positive thinking comes from your thinking about your goals and the specific, concrete, positive things that you could be doing right now to move toward them more rapidly. One of the key antidotes to worry or negativity of any kind is for you to get so busy working on something that's important to you that you don't have any time to think about anything except where you're going in life. Another key part of mental programming is positive visualization. This involves your feeding your mind with a continuous stream of positive images that are consistent with the person you want to be and the life you want to live. All improvement in your life begins with an improvement in your mental pictures. If you talk to unhappy people and ask them what they think about most of the time, you won't be surprised to find out that they think about their problems, their bills, their negative relationships, and all the setbacks and obstacles in their lives. But when you talk to successful, happy people, you find that they spend most of their time thinking about the things that they want to be and have and do. Your mental pictures are like your affirmations. They are accepted by your subconscious mind as commands, and your subconscious mind goes to work to bring them into your reality. The problem with most people is that in the morning they think about how much money they want to earn. In the afternoon they think about their financial problems. In the evening they go home and worry about their bills. They keep sending their minds a series of conflicting and contradictory messages, like giving a taxi driver different instructions at every corner. They never get anywhere. Remember, luck requires your fully activating the law of attraction and drawing into your life from all directions people and circumstances that can help you to move ahead faster. By thinking about what you want and keeping your mind off of what you don't want, you tend to be luckier and luckier in everything you attempt. Over the years, I found it very helpful to buy magazines full of pictures of the things that I've wanted in my life. When my wife and I were talking about the kind of house we wanted to live in, we bought every magazine that described beautiful homes. We went out on the weekends and visited beautiful homes in expensive neighborhoods, walking through them in open houses from one end to the other and thinking about the various features that we liked. We went for walks and continually discussed what our dream house would look like. We made very careful lists and gave a lot of consideration to our needs, both in the present and in the future. And it will come as no surprise to you that it wasn't very long before we found a house that was perfect for us in every respect. And it wasn't luck. Perhaps the most important ingredient that you can add to the process of affirmation and visualization is the constant emotionalization of your words and mental pictures. The luck formula says that thought times emotion equals reality. This means that the more that you can emotionalize a goal, an affirmation, or a picture, the more energy that command has and the more rapidly it is acted upon by your subconscious mind. When you have an intense, burning desire for achievement of any kind, you seem to generate a feeling of excitement and enthusiasm that drives you forward and over any obstacles in your way. The more you really want something, and the more you affirm and visualize it from your conscious mind to your subconscious mind, the more energy and power you have. All kinds of good things begin to happen to you that other people describe as luck. The law of reversibility is one of the most important luck factors of all. This law has been with us for thousands of years, and has been taught by many of the great teachers throughout history. William James of Harvard rediscovered it in 1905. The law of reversibility says that just as feelings generate actions that are consistent with them, actions generate feelings that are consistent with them as well. What this means is that you can act your way into feeling the way you want to feel. You can program your subconscious mind by pretending that you already have the qualities and characteristics that you most desire. For example, you may wake up in the morning not feeling particularly positive and enthusiastic about the day. You may feel reluctant to call on new customers or to visit your banker. But If you deliberately pretend as though you are positive and confident in every respect, after a few short minutes, you will start to feel positive and confident. You will feel happy and in control. You will feel optimistic and outgoing. Your actions will actually create the feelings or emotions that are consistent with them. How many times does the football team that is behind in the second quarter get a pep talk from the coach in the locker room? Probably every single time. After that pep talk, the team goes charging out onto the field as though they could conquer the world. And very often, this new attitude of confidence and enthusiasm turns the game around and takes them to victory. Well, you can become your own cheerleader by talking to yourself positively and then acting as if you were already the person that you wanted to be. Fake it until you make it. Act as though you are trying out for the role of an outstanding, positive, warm, cheerful, happy, and likable person. Walk, talk, act, and behave as if you were already that person. Treat every single person as though you had just won an award for being the very best person in your industry. And the more you act the part, the more you program these behaviors and attitudes into your subconscious mind, where they lock in permanently. Another great luck factor is empathy. Stephen Covey says, "Seek first to understand, then to be understood." One of the fastest ways for you to overcome shyness and insecurity around others is to become more involved in them and in their lives by asking questions and listening intently to the answers. Most people are so preoccupied with themselves and the details of their own lives that they pay very little attention to anyone else. But when you empathize with others by asking them questions and listening to them when they talk, they will like you and they will want to cooperate with you, and your own shyness will disappear. An extension or corollary of the principle of empathy is the law of emotional reciprocity. This law says very simply that when you do and say things that make other people feel good, they will have an unconscious desire to pay you back and to make you feel good as well. My friend Cabot Robert, the great professional speaker, tells how he used to run out onto the stage as a young man and say to himself, "Here I am." As he matured, his attitude toward his audiences changed completely. With his new attitude, he would walk out onto the stage and say to himself, "There you are." With regard to emotional reciprocity and empathy, what is it that people really want? Well, since you are a person as well, you have inside knowledge of how to be a great success in your interactions with others. What people want, and what you want, is to feel important. You want to feel valued and appreciated and worthwhile. You want people to like you and respect you and treat you nicely. You want people to do things that raise your self-esteem and cause you to like and respect yourself even more. The people that you like the most in life are the ones who make you feel the best about yourself when you are with them. And this is the key to excellent human relationships. With every person you meet, look for something that you can say that will make that person feel better about himself or herself. At the very least, never condemn, complain, or criticize. If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. Even if you have a problem or a criticism, it's better for you to start off by asking for help and by taking the low road in your conversation with another person. When you look for ways to satisfy the deep subconscious needs of other people for approval, appreciation, admiration, and attention, they will be unconsciously motivated to help you to achieve your goals as well. The key thing is for you to get out of your own way. It's for you to stop thinking about yourself all the time and instead think about how you can make other people feel better about themselves. There's another key element of luck and success that is overlooked by most people. It is the subject of image and how you appear to others in your day-to-day interactions. Sometimes your image can make or break you in a critical business relationship. People are highly visual. You've heard it said that you never get a second chance to make a good first impression. We meet so many people under so many circumstances that we are constantly judging and sorting. This process takes place unconsciously. We're not even aware of it. But often we make an instant decision on a person, and that decision sticks for the rest of the time we know that person. Research shows that people actually make up their minds about you in the first 4 seconds. Each person's mind is like quick-drying cement, and the first 4 seconds leaves the first impression. The cement sets hard in 30 seconds, and after that, the person will then look for things about you to justify their initial impression. Because of the way the human mind is constructed, people use selective perception and will ignore or reject things that are inconsistent with what they have already decided to believe. The most successful people at every level of society are those who look the very best on the outside. They don't leave their first or second impressions to chance. They give a lot of thought to their appearance. They carefully study other successful people, and they dress accordingly. They constantly observe the top people in their fields, and they strive to look more and more like them. You deal with other people based on your perception of them, rightly or wrongly. Your initial perception is formed at the moment of first meeting the person. And first impressions make the greatest impact on how you think and feel about that person from then on. It's not that your assessment of the person won't change over time. This does happen, but it is rare. Once the impression is made, that perception becomes the reality of the individual with regard to you. You've heard it said that birds of a feather flock together, or like attracts like. You will find that as you rise to higher levels in your business and personal life, the people at each higher level dress better and better than the people at the lower levels. And successful people can recognize other successful people across a crowded room. Just as birds have plumage that enables them to be recognized by other birds of the same kind, individuals have plumage as well, in the form of the clothes they wear, their grooming, and their accessories. And because of the law of attraction, people who look similar seem to be attracted to each other in social and business situations. The fact is that you are most comfortable dealing with people who are very much like you, and so is everyone else. If you want powerful, important people to be comfortable dealing with you, you must dress the way they dress and carry yourself the way they carry themselves. The ideal colors for business for men are navy blue and dark gray. These are also the ideal colors for women, and in addition, women can wear hunter green. Men should always wear white shirts and silk ties, carefully coordinated with the color of their suits. Women should always wear accessories that complement the main color and design of their clothes. Both men and women should wear high-quality shoes, properly polished. There's an acceptable level of grooming for both men and women at every level of society. If you want to drive a truck, you can wear a beard with hair down your back. If you want to be successful in business, you should have a conservative hairstyle and a clean face. I remember a young man working for a company in Phoenix in sales who was doing very poorly. He had the right education, the right clothes, the right personality, and the right energy level, but he was having no luck with his sales. Both he and his boss were extremely frustrated, and his boss was thinking of letting him go. The young man had a full beard and a mustache. He thought it was clever and different. But what interviews with customers demonstrated was that facial hair, especially a beard, denotes a person as eccentric or even untrustworthy. When the young man learned this, he went home and shaved off his beard and mustache. His sales results changed overnight. Within 2 months, he was the top salesman in the company. The same people that were very reluctant to talk to him about his products were suddenly his best customers and were referring him to other people. He told me that if he had not learned about how improper grooming, especially facial hair on a man, could hold a person back, he would probably have failed in his new career. One of the great principles of luck is this: everything counts. Everything counts. Every little thing that you do or don't do counts in some way. Everything helps or hurts. Everything adds up or takes away. Everything moves you toward your goals or moves you away from them. Everything counts. You've heard it said that the devil is in the details. This is as true for your image as it is for any other part of your work or personal life. Little things do mean a lot. I suggest that you get and read at least one book on how to dress for success in business. Leave nothing to chance. Study the top people around you. If you work for a salary, dress the same way the people 2 jobs above you dress. Spend twice as much on your clothes and buy half as many. If you're a junior clerk, come to the office looking like a junior executive. You'll immediately attract the attention of people who can help you. If you combine an excellent professional image with a commitment to continuous growth in knowledge and skill, you'll put yourself onto the fast track in your career, and the people who can help you the most will be the ones opening the most doors for you. The reason that image is so important is that when you look absolutely excellent in a personal or business situation, you feel absolutely excellent as well. When you look around you and you know that you are one of the best-dressed people in the room, you have a tremendous inner feeling of pride and confidence and self-esteem. You like and respect yourself even more. And as a result, you like and respect others. You are more sensitive and courteous and gracious in your relationships with them. When you dress like a winner, you think and feel like a winner. By the law of reversibility, your outer actions of walking, talking, acting, grooming, and behaving like an outstanding individual have a backflow effect that actually causes you to feel like an outstanding individual in everything you do. And remember, everything counts. Your personality and your attitude are perhaps the most powerful of all luck factors. When you combine them with a commitment to doing your job in an excellent fashion, you trigger the desire of all the people around you to help you to move forward in your career. The nicer you are to others, the nicer they will be to you. The more positive you are, the more people will want to be involved with you and to do business with you. One of the most important discoveries in the field of leadership, especially personal leadership, is that leadership only really takes place when other people want you to be the leader. And the better you cooperate and interact with other people, the more people will want you to be successful and will look for ways to help you to achieve your goals. And luck will have nothing to do with it. The quality and quantity of your relationships with other people will determine your success as much or more than any other factor. In the last session, I gave you some ideas that you can use to become a far more positive, optimistic, and likable person. In this session, you'll learn how to expand your network of contacts and relationships in all directions so that you increase the likelihood that you will meet the right person at the right time with the right information or opportunities for you. The law of relationships is simple. It's a key luck factor. It says that the more people who know you and think of you in a positive way, the more success and opportunity you will have. Every change in your life will involve other people. If you wish to achieve big goals, you need the active involvement and cooperation of lots of different people. Over the years, your life has been affected and your life direction has been changed by a simple comment, a piece of advice, or one action by a particular person at a particular time. A friend of mine was building his business in an extremely competitive market. He needed more money to expand. He began calling on local banks with his business plan. One by one, they turned him down and told him that his business would never be successful. But he was an optimist, so he drew a series of ever-expanding concentric circles around the address and location of his business on a map, and then began calling on banks at ever greater distances. Finally, he found a bank and a banker 95 miles away who liked his business plan and loaned him the money he needed to expand. He is today one of the wealthiest and most successful entrepreneurs in America. I asked him if he had ever thought about giving up in his search for more money. He said, "Absolutely not. I knew that I would eventually get the money if I spoke to enough people. I was prepared to visit banks even 500 miles from my office if that's what it took to find the right banker with the right attitude for what I needed at that time." This is a key luck factor and an important part of success. The law of probability says the more different things you try, the more likely it will be that you will try the right thing at the right time. With regard to relationships, the more different people you know and the more consistently you expand your range of contacts, the more likely it is that you are going to meet the person you need at exactly the right time with exactly the right resources for you. It is no miracle, and it has nothing to do with luck. The most successful people in our society at all levels are those who know and who are known by the greatest number of other successful people. And this is a chicken and egg situation. Do people become successful and then meet other successful people? Or do they meet other successful people and then become successful themselves? The fact is that it can work either way. The mistake that most people make is that they think by seeking out successful people, they will be able to piggyback on their knowledge, advice, and resources. But this will only work for a short time. In the long run, you can never get and hold on to anything to which you are not entitled to as the result of your own consciousness and your own mind. The law of attraction is the most vital of all the luck factors. You inevitably attract into your life the people and circumstances in harmony with your dominant thoughts. The opposite of the law of attraction is the law of repulsion. You automatically push away or repel people and circumstances that are not in harmony with your dominant thoughts. When you are a completely positive thinker, you set up a force field of positive energy that attracts other positive people and situations toward you. If you are a negative thinker, you set up a field of negative energy that drives these same forces away. Many people have transformed their lives in as little as a day by simply taking full control over their minds and disciplining themselves to think only about the things they want and to talk only about the directions in which they are going. The very act of writing down clear, specific goals, making plans for their accomplishment, and then going to work on them every single day will change your thinking and will change the force field of energy around you almost instantly. Birds of a feather do flock together. People at similar levels of success in every enterprise or profession tend to be attracted to each other, and you cannot fake it for very long. This brings us to another important luck factor, the law of indirect effort. This law says that you get what you want with other people more often indirectly than directly. In fact, if you attempt to get other people to help you or cooperate with you directly, you'll often end up looking foolish and even drive those people away. But if you use the law of indirect effort, you will be amazed at how successful you can be. For example, if you want to have more friends, how do you use the law of indirect effort? It's simple. Concentrate on being a good friend to other people. Take an interest in other people. Ask them questions and listen to their answers. Practice empathy with them. Be concerned about their problems and their situations. Look for ways to help them, even if it's just being a friendly sounding board. The more you concentrate on being a good friend, the more friends you will have. You will attract people into your life like bees to honey. Do you want to impress other people? The worst way to do it is the direct way, by trying to impress them. The best way is the indirect way, by being impressed by other people. The more impressed you are with other people and their accomplishments, the more interested and impressed they will be in you. When you meet a new person, remember that everyone has done something that is noteworthy and impressive. Your job is to find it out. Ask people what they do. Ask people how they got into that particular field. Ask people how everything is going. If you listen carefully, people will tell you about both their current successes and their current problems. When a person mentions that they have just achieved something worthwhile, nod, smile, and congratulate them for their success. As Abraham Lincoln said, everybody likes a compliment. People love to be congratulated for things that they have accomplished. A very successful businessman I know made a habit of sending 10 telegrams every week to people he had met over the years. The telegrams contained a single word, congratulations. Over the years, he built up a network of men and women who really liked and respected him. They were always amazed that he had somehow known that they had accomplished something worthwhile and had acknowledged them with his telegram. When he was asked later on in life how he managed to be aware of the accomplishments of his friends, he said that he had no idea about what they were doing. He just knew that everybody is accomplishing something every day and every week. When you send them a message that says, congratulations, they will automatically apply that message to whatever situation in their life that has just worked out successfully for them. By using the law of indirect effort, you constantly look for ways to compliment and congratulate people on what they are doing, what they have accomplished, how they are dressed, the recent decisions they have made, or even the fact that they have lost a few pounds. In our society, one of the best compliments that you can give to anyone is, you look like you've lost weight. Even if it's not true, people always enjoy having someone notice, rightly or wrongly, that they have lost weight. Why? Because everyone wants to be physically attractive, and physical attractiveness is closely associated with being thin, trim, and fit. You can never go wrong complimenting somebody on how good they look. Do you want people to respect you? This is one of the deepest subconscious needs that we all have. They say that babies cry for it and grown men die for it. Almost everything you do is to earn the respect of the people you respect, or at least not to lose the respect of the people you respect. So, if you want people to respect you, you should respect them in advance. We've moved away from the era of the go-getter, and we are now in the era of the go-giver. This is why the great majority of underachievers and unhappy people are those who are waiting and trying to get something out before they put something in. But this is not for you. You know the law of sowing and reaping. You know that you get out what you put in. You also know that you cannot reap until you have sown. So, you just concentrate on sowing good thoughts, good ideas, and good feelings in your relationships with others. And you know, as a matter of universal law, that it will come back to you in the most remarkable ways. The law of giving, another key luck factor, says that the more you give of yourself without expectation of return, the more that will come back to you from the most unexpected sources. Many people make the mistake of thinking that their good should come back from the very people that they have been good to. But this very seldom happens. When you give of yourself freely and openly to someone else, either of your time, your money, or your emotions, that person will very seldom be the person who repays you in kind. Instead, you will be activating one of the greatest of the laws of the universe, the laws of attraction, and powers will be put in motion that will bring you the good that you need and desire, usually from a completely different source and at exactly the right time and place for you. Why should this happen? It's easy to understand. When you do something nice for another person, it raises your own self-esteem and makes you feel really terrific about yourself. There is something about helping others, about giving of yourself to others in need, that makes you glow as a person. In fact, you are constructed, engineered in such a way that you can only be truly happy when you know that you are doing something that really makes a positive difference in the lives of other people. The reality is that you benefit as much and often much more than the person for whom you do a kindness. You change the force field of mental energy around you by helping others in some way. In so doing, you intensify the power of attraction and draw into your life happy people and circumstances from sources that you could not even imagine or predict. For example, imagine you are driving from point A to point B. You're in a hurry, but you see an old person who is stopped by the side of the road with a flat tire. Even though you're on a tight schedule, you overcome your impatience, you stop and help the person replace their tire. The person offers to pay you, and you refuse. You wish them Godspeed, and you hurry along on your journey. The whole incident takes about 10 minutes. Perhaps, unbeknownst to you, you have just activated the powers of the universe in your behalf. You arrive at your appointment a little bit late, but you find that the person you're going to meet with is even later than you. Nothing is lost. Not only that, something has happened that morning, and the person you meet with, rather than being a reluctant prospect, is very much in need of what you're selling and makes an immediate decision to buy. You walk out with one of the best and easiest orders you've ever got. And if you're not careful, you start thinking about how lucky you were. But it wasn't luck. It was law. Generosity of all kinds triggers happy, fortuitous, lucky events in your life. Throughout the ages, men and women have tithed their way to great success and fortune. They have regularly given 10% or more of their income to worthy causes. This attitude and action of giving seems to set up a force field of energy that draws financial opportunities to them that are far, far greater than any money they give away. When you give generously of yourself, you change your mental space. You shape the inner aspects of your mind. You create a new mental equivalent which is more and more consistent with the life experiences of satisfaction, joy, and success that you desire. You become a truly lucky person. Because relationships are so important, they cannot be left to chance. The great majority of people are like billiard balls banging around on the table of life. They are like bumper car drivers at the fair, continually colliding with other people randomly, with very little control over who they run into or who runs into them. They live by the law of accident. But this is not for you. It's absolutely essential that you make a specific plan for the relationships that you want to grow and develop in your life. Remember, you free yourself from the law of accident by living your life by design. Instead of having things happen to you in a random and haphazard way, you deliberately plan what you want to have happen. And the more clear you are in your own mind about what you want, the more rapidly you attract it into your life and recognize it when it does occur. Here's a simple example. Your choice of a mate in marriage or in a key relationship will do more to determine your success and happiness than perhaps any other factor. You know countless people who have worked hard for years to accomplish material success in the outside world and then seen it all fall to pieces when the critical relationships with their spouse and children disintegrated for a lack of time and attention. The way you find your ideal mate is the same way that you achieve any worthwhile goal in life. You sit down with a pad of paper, and you write out a description of the perfect person for you. As you do this exercise, imagine that you are putting in an order that you are going to mail away to the other side of the country, and the perfect person is going to be delivered back to you exactly the way you have described him or her. Take some time to write down every detail. Be sure to describe the other person's appearance, height, weight, and level of physical fitness. Describe the person's temperament, personality, sense of humor, education, intelligence, and attitude. Be as precise as you can with regard to the person's values, beliefs, philosophies, and opinions about the important things in life. The more detailed your description of your ideal person, the better. Read and reread this description every day. Add new details and things that you want to the description as you think of them. Modify and adjust the existing description so that it is more and more accurate and precise. Each time you review the description of your ideal person, you drive this description deeper and deeper into your subconscious mind. When you imagine how happy you will feel when you are in a relationship with a perfect person for you, this emotional component activates your subconscious mind and triggers the law of attraction. In no time at all, you will draw that person into your life. The next step in finding your ideal relationship is for you to do an honest evaluation of yourself. One of the hallmarks of the self-actualizing person is that he or she is completely objective and frank about his or her strengths and weaknesses. Make a list of everything that you have to offer in a relationship. What are your good points? What are the characteristics and qualities that you have developed over the years that makes you a really worthwhile catch for the ideal kind of person that you want? Now, be honest with yourself and make a list of the areas where you still have work to do. Are you not as disciplined as you would like to be? Do you not use your time as well as you would like? Are you sometimes impatient, irritable, or demanding? Be honest with yourself. Write them all down and then resolve to go to work to improve yourself in each of these areas. Remember, you cannot attract into your life a person that is very different from the person you are deep inside. If you want to attract a really wonderful person to you, you must become a pretty good person yourself. Your relationships, especially your most important relationships, will always reflect your true personality, values, beliefs, and attitudes. You will always experience on the outside what you truly are on the inside. Once you've made some decisions about what you want in your personal life, it's time for you to decide what kind of relationships you want in your business and in your career. One of the secrets of success in the law of work is to select your boss carefully. When you go out to look for a job, remember that you are going to be exchanging your life, your most precious possession, for the opportunity to work and get results, and the income that goes along with it. The key to your success at work is going to be the quality of the relationship that you have with your boss and with your customers. So, choose your boss with care. Interview carefully until you find the kind of person that you would really like to work for. You need someone that you like, respect, admire, and look up to. You want to work for someone who has a lot to teach you and who will encourage you and support you in doing the best job you possibly can. On the other hand, if you find yourself working for a negative boss or working in a negative situation where you are subjected to a continual criticism, you'll never be happy and you'll never be successful. Eventually, you'll quit or be fired and have to go out and find a new job somewhere else, working with and for different people. Smart people are those who adamantly refuse to work in a situation that they don't enjoy most of the time. They know that anything else is a waste of time and a waste of life. I've seen countless occasions where a good person has left a negative work environment and joined a company with a positive, optimistic, encouraging boss and a group of really great coworkers. In no time at all, the person who was doing poorly in one environment began to thrive and grow in the new environment. The most important decision that you make for your luck and success is your choice of the people with whom you habitually associate. Get around the right people. Get around winners and get away from negative people. Get away from people who complain and condemn and criticize all the time. These toxic people depress you and take all the joy out of living. After you've spent time with them, you feel discouraged and demotivated. Instead, choose your friends and associates with care. As Baron de Rothschild once said, make no useless acquaintances. Be perfectly selfish with regard to the people in your environment. Dr. David McClelland's research into achievement at Harvard University demonstrated after 25 years that the members of your reference group will have more of an impact on your success and happiness than any other choices you make in life. Your reference group is made up of the people with whom you identify and associate most of the time. If you fly with eagles, you will think and feel like an eagle. If you associate with turkeys, you will think, walk, talk, act, and speak like a turkey. The people around you will have an inordinate influence on every part of your life and everything you accomplish. Successful people are often described as loners. This does not mean that they are a-loners. They have very good friends and relationships, but they don't go out for lunch with whoever is standing by the door at lunchtime. They are very selective in their relationships. They insist upon only spending time with people they enjoy and whose company they can benefit from. You must do the same. One of the salient characteristics of self-made millionaires in America is that they are inveterate networkers. They know that the more people they know and who know them, the more luck they're going to have when it comes to making sales and discovering opportunities. They take every opportunity to network with other people and to build up a broader and broader network of overlapping contacts in all the areas of their life that they consider to be important. I have some very good friends who once moved to a new city in a new country, and within a few months, they became some of the most active and popular people in their industries. How did they do it? Networking. They immediately got involved in their industry associations and organizations. They became fully engaged and contributed wholeheartedly to the activities of their organizations. And because only a few people ever do this, they soon rose to positions of prominence in planning and organizing the major committees and functions. They were soon recognized and respected by all the key people in the organization and in the industry. They developed a reputation for making a contribution and getting things done. And both opportunities and possibilities began to flow their way. They easily gained the support of the key people inside and outside of their organizations and made more progress in a few months than many people had made in several years. The key to networking is for you to consciously and deliberately select one or two organizations that contain people who can be of assistance to you and who you can help as well in achieving your personal and business goals. The law of credibility is a key luck factor for you. It says that the more people believe you and trust you, the easier it is for them to decide to work with you and do business with you. And everything counts. Everything you do in your relationships either helps or hurts your credibility and the level of trust that you have with other people. One of your main reasons for joining key organizations is to begin building your credibility with the people who can help you sometime in the future. Here's the formula for successful networking in business. When you join an organization, study the organization carefully. Ask questions about what the organization does and what parts of the organization are the most active and the most important to the success of the organization. Study the roster of members and the committee structure. Be sure that you are joining an organization that has people in it that are ahead of you in your career and in your business. They must be people that you can learn from and gain from. They must be people who have the capacity to pull you up to higher levels than you have so far attained on your own. Once you've identified a key committee in an organization, volunteer for that committee. Since everything that is done in business and social organizations is largely voluntary, your willingness to contribute your time and effort will always be welcome. Most people who join associations do little more than attend the meetings and functions and then go home. They look upon the meetings as an extension of their social life rather than as a key part of their business lives. But when you join, you not only volunteer for responsibilities, you become actively involved. You volunteer for more assignments. You put your head down and you perform whatever tasks are given to you. You attend every meeting and you contribute to every discussion. You do your homework before and after the meeting so that you are thoroughly prepared. In no time at all, the key people on the committee will take notice of you. By constantly giving of yourself with no expectation of return, you will begin to earn both their respect and their trust. Your credibility with them will increase. Their confidence in your ability to perform ever more complex tasks will go up. In time, they'll be asking you to do different things and assigning different tasks to you. You will soon become a key player on the committee and a valuable member of the organization. Some years ago, I joined the Chamber of Commerce for the express purpose of getting involved in the business community and making a contribution of some kind. I found that the key issue that the Chamber was involved in at that time was the business government education situation that existed. I volunteered for service on the business education committee that liaised with the government. I put in a good number of hours doing research and writing papers for the committee. I attended every meeting. I suggested different strategies and tactics that the business community could use to be a more active player with the government in increasing the relevance and quality of education in the state. In no time at all, I was the vice chairman of the committee, assigned all of the major responsibilities of the chamber in that area. The chairman of the committee was one of the senior businessmen in the community. He was extremely powerful and linked to a variety of businesses and government organizations everywhere. I worked under him and followed his guidance and instruction. He began opening doors for me and introducing me to other key business people who could give me input and advice on the business and education activities of the chamber. 6 months later, the annual meeting of the chamber, attended by several hundred delegates, every one of them leading business people, was held in a resort. They asked me if I would take the responsibility for preparing the agenda of speakers and emceeing the annual meeting. Again, I accepted with enthusiasm. I spent many hours preparing and studying the introductions of the various speakers. At the meeting, I was front and center as the MC and chairman for the entire day, in front of hundreds of top business delegates. And because I had done my homework, I was thoroughly prepared to do the job in a competent manner. After the meeting, I was invited to join the Business and Government Relations Committee. In the next year, I was holding and chairing meetings between groups of senior business executives and senior government officials. Some of these meetings were written up in the newspapers, including some of the comments that I had made and that the politicians had made in response. Another major businessman read the comments and decided that he wanted me to run one of his businesses. I was hired away from my current job at double the salary plus stock options. Before the dust had settled, I was one of the best-known and respected young businessmen in the state. I was on a first-name basis with senior politicians, top business people, and the heads of several private and public organizations. I was invited to become a key player with the United Way in their annual fundraising drive. This brought me to the attention of more and more senior business people and gave me even more opportunities to expand my contacts. In another couple of years, my income doubled again. There seemed to be a direct relationship between the ever-widening circle of contacts I was forming and the opportunities that I had to work, invest, develop real estate, travel, and interact with more and more key people. And my story is not unique. Countless people have had the same experience, but it depends on you. It's up to you to get out there and get involved with what is going on in your community. there are always vastly more opportunities for you to serve your community in social, business, or charitable organizations than there ever will be talented people to fill those slots. There are no limits to the degree to which you can expand your contacts if you approach the situation as a giver rather than as a taker. When you meet a new person who you feel would be valuable for you to know, remember the old saying that he who asks questions has control. Use the law of indirect effort. Instead of trying to impress the other person, ask him or her questions and then be impressed by what he or she says to you. Look for opportunities to help, to put in rather than to take out. Remember, the law of sowing and reaping is a universal principle. If you put in long enough and hard enough, you will eventually get out all that you could possibly want. Every business person that you meet is concerned and preoccupied about his or her level of business. Here's a great question for you to ask each person. What do I have to know about your business to recommend you to a prospective customer or client? People love to talk about what they do and why it is that other companies patronize them or should patronize them. And there is nothing that will build a faster bond between you and another business person than by you recommending a customer or client to that business person. When you help other people build their businesses and achieve their own professional and financial goals, they will be predisposed to helping you to improve your life and business as well. Another way of stating the law of liking, a vital luck factor, is the more a person likes you, the easier it is for you to influence them in some way. The rule is that emotions distort valuations. If a person really likes you, he or she will be less concerned about your weaknesses or any shortcomings you might turn out to have. On the other hand, if a person dislikes you, he or she will be hypersensitive and aware to any weaknesses or shortcomings you have. People like to do business with people they like. People like to socialize with people they like. People like to open doors for people they like. People like to buy from people they like. People like to hire and promote people they like. The more people like you, the more opportunities will open up for you and the faster you will move ahead in your career. Continually offer to help the people you meet. I've seen some of the wealthiest and most powerful business people in the world in action. I have always been amazed to notice how courteous and attentive they are when they are listening to others. And almost invariably they ask, "Is there any way that I can help you?" You should end any conversation with anyone by simply asking that same question. Is there any way that I can help you at this time? Sometimes the person will think of something that you can do. In most cases, the other person will not be able to think of any way that you can help him at this time. But your very act of offering to help will leave a pleasant memory of you in the mind of the other person. And sometime down the line, he or she may call on you for help. The law of reciprocity is one of the most powerful of all luck factors and one of the most important of all human principles. It simply says that if you do something for another person, the other person will want to do something for you. He or she will want to reciprocate in some way so that he or she doesn't feel under a sense of obligation to you. Most human beings are extremely fair, and they want to stay even in their personal and business lives. When you do something nice for another person, he or she will instinctively want to get even with you by doing something nice for you as well. If you go out for lunch with a friend and you pick up the tab, he or she will insist on picking it up next time. If you invite a friend over to your home for dinner, he or she will insist on inviting you over at another time. When you send a Christmas card to someone, they will send a Christmas card back, even if they don't know you. When you organize your life in harmony with universal laws, you will always be astonished at the speed at which good things start to happen for you. And the law of reciprocity in human relationships is one of the most powerful principles you will ever learn. The key to success in life is for you to build more and better relationships, for you to become more known and respected by a greater circle of people. And you do this deliberately and consciously, selecting the people and organizations you want to be associated with, and then by throwing your whole heart into making a valuable contribution to those people and organizations. Human beings always seek to follow the line of least resistance. And the line of least resistance in human relationships is to recommend and to do business with the people with whom we already know, like, and trust. Your job is to build up the widest possible network of influential contacts as you move through life. The more people you know and who know you in a positive way, the more likely it is that you will know the right person at the right time for the right reason and for the right opportunity. You will have possibility after possibility of expanding and improving every aspect of your life. When you reach the top of your field by gaining the respect and esteem of all the people around you, it will be because you had a goal and a plan, not because of luck.